Hey, what's going on, all? This is Anand Bhatt, and you are listening to another podcast episode. It's really interesting. It's super cool. I hope you dig it.
Anand Bhatt,
the first Indian American.
Anand Bhatt is a musician and activist who was named one of the top five Indian Americans.
Top superstar, Anand Bhatt.
That is coconut water from our guest, Anand Bhatt.
El cantautor Anand Bhatt, quien ha sido el primer hindú americano considerado para un Grammy Latino.
Chicago musician Anand Bhatt.
Anand Bhatt. He is the first Indian American music artist to be inducted into the Latin Grammys.
The Latin Grammys were awesome.
Quite a unique musician and artist, Anand Bhatt.
Made my Latin Grammy week and dropped off in that house.
Very unique. The first Indian American.
Come weekend night, the Metro or the Vic Theater in downtown Chicago rock to the latest grooves. And Anand Bhatt, more often than not, was in the middle of the action.
Anand Bhatt.
Anand Bhatt.
The question of whether mispronouncing ethnic words constitutes a microaggression is a nuanced one that involves considerations of language, culture, and interpersonal dynamics. For many, language is deeply intertwined with cultural identity, and the mispronunciation of ethnic words can be experienced as more than a simple linguistic error. In some instances, mispronouncing ethnic words may be perceived as a form of microaggression, which refers to subtle, often unintentional actions that marginalize or belittle individuals from marginalized groups. Language, being a powerful tool for communication and expression, plays a crucial role in shaping perceptions and interactions. Mispronunciation, when consistent and disregarding corrections, can be seen as a dismissive act that overlooks the importance of cultural nuances. However, it's essential to recognize that not all mispronunciations are intentional or malicious. Language is complex, and individuals may genuinely struggle with unfamiliar sounds or linguistic structures. In such cases, the mispronunciation may stem from lack of exposure rather than a deliberate attempt to undermine or disrespect. The perception of mispronunciations as microaggressions also varies among individuals and communities. Some may view it as a minor offense, while others may see it as a reflection of broader issues related to cultural insensitivity. The impact can depend on factors such as the frequency of the mispronunciations, the context in which they occur, and the willingness of the speaker to learn and correct their language use. Conversations around mispronunciations often highlight the importance of cultural competence and respectful communication. Individuals who make an effort to learn and pronounce ethnic words correctly demonstrate a commitment to understanding and honoring diverse cultures. Conversely, repeated mispronunciations without an attempt to correct them may contribute to feelings of frustration or marginalization. It's crucial to approach these discussions with openness and a willingness to learn. Creating an environment where individuals feel comfortable correcting mispronunciations fosters mutual understanding and helps break down linguistic barriers. Acknowledging the cultural significance of names and words contributes to building more inclusive and respectful interactions, ultimately promoting a sense of belonging for everyone involved.
All right, so this is how you pronounce this word. Now, I'm going to say it how we normally say it here in the United States. We normally call it the word yoga. Yoga, kind of like yogurt, but with a ga on the end of it, yoga. So that is actually not the correct way to pronounce this word. It's actually pronounced yoga. All right, and it may sound like a subtle difference to some of you guys, but there is actually a big difference between yoga and yoga. And it's where the word to yoke comes from. Yoke, not necessarily yolk from an egg, but to yoke, you gotta yoke cattle. It's like pushing something through, pulling something through. You yoke it, like you yoke a knot, kind of. And what the practice of yoga is pulling yourself through to your higher self, if that makes sense, right? So pulling your egoic self, your ego self, your sense of I am this person, I am that person, I have this job, I'm a man, I'm a woman, all these stories that your mind or your ego self tells you is you, pulling that, it's the yoga is the practice of pulling that through to your essential being self, the one that actually has no actual quote unquote identity, the existence itself, the existence that you are, all right, if for lack of a better phrase. All right, so kind of think of the word, now yoga doesn't necessarily mean a series of poses either, all right? So what think of yoga as the suffix ology. That's the easiest way. I mean, it's not quite exact, but that's the easiest way to actually think about it. So most people, when they think of yoga, they think of hatha yoga, which is, you know, the series of poses and physical postures and all that stuff. And that's not necessarily what it is, because there's also karma yoga, a karma yoga, as we would say in an American accent, karma yoga, raja yoga, my favorite, jnana yoga. Jnana is spelled J-N-A-N-A. It's where the word knowledge comes from. And that's what it means. The J is kind of silent, just like the K is silent in knowledge. It's where the word comes from. So you would say Jnana, even though it's spelled J-N-A-N-A. So, and it just means knowledge. It means through intellectual discourse. All right, so we've got Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is, I guess most Christian faiths would actually fall under Bhakti Yoga, because it's all about developing a love for Christ and a love for God, right? So it's about love. And those are four different yogas, right? Those are four different paths. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other, right? Like we talked about, there's Hatha Yoga, which is actually overcoming the physical limitations of your body through a series of poses. The whole purpose is not actually physical health. That's not the purpose of Hatha Yoga, right? That's the purpose is actually to overcome the notion that you are this body, right? And this body is also important. The body is actually not supposed to be important to you eventually if you're practicing Hatha Yoga correctly. And then, like I said, my favorite is Jnana Yoga, where, you know, we philosophical treaties like Drishya Viveka help actually liberate. And then I would say a close second for me personally, it would be Bhakti Yoga, that feeling of love when you relax in the existence that you are, right? Again, for lack of a better phrase. All right, so it's pronounced yoga. So if you see an Indian person around you, I mean, don't be holding up with your folded up mat and saying yoga. Yoga is just, it's a little nonsensical. You want to say yoga. And actually, technically, in North India, in Hindi, it would actually just be yoga. You wouldn't necessarily say the A. North Indian languages, especially Hindi, removed the A from a lot of words, from a lot of Sanskrit words. It's a different language. There's no right and wrong there, right? So Rama would be Ram. Shiva would be Shiv, right? Like, so my mother would say Shiv and Ram, right? Even though Sanskrit would call it Shiva and Rama. All right, so yoga is actually technically yoga. And the A is still kind of there. It's a hard G, yoga. Think of it as going into the word and kind of ricocheting off the G. There you go. That's the best way I can tell you how to pronounce the word. Yoga, yoga. All right, which is different than boga, right? That's another word that we can get into later. Yoga and boga. All right, hopefully this was helpful to you, and I will see you in the next video. Subscribe if you dig it.